This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Bad mortgages.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The nation's foreclosure problems may only be getting worse. RealtyTrack says May's foreclosures are up 19% over April. They're up 90% over last year. More now from Steve Tripoli.
RealtyTrack says there were 176,000 new foreclosure filings nationwide in May. Thomas Lawler is an independent housing economist.
What the foreclosure numbers are suggesting is that many of those delinquencies are entering what you might call phase two. A lot of lenders are feeling that these loans are not easily salvageable.
Rising foreclosure rates translate into more downward pressure on home prices in many markets. Lawler says that in turn could affect the wider economy.
Even people who are having no problem servicing their mortgage, if they think their home is worth a lot less, they're probably going to think twice about the amount of spending they're doing.
And the pressure on homeowners is about to increase. Over the next 4 months, adjustable rate mortgages worth $100 billion are scheduled to change to what look like much higher monthly payments. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
More concerned for interest rates, bond yields hit their highest level in 5 years, 5.3% on the 10-year T-note. That's brought stocks tumbling down. The Dow fell 129 points yesterday to 13,295. The Nasdaq slid 22. The S&P 500 dropped 16 points. In Asia, stocks fell in most markets, and European shares are down in the early going. We've told you about the Open Skies Agreement between the U.S. and Europe. It's supposed to lower fares and bring more competition to transatlantic flying. Europe has a new project called Clean Sky. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, is with us. Tell us what this is, Stephen.
This is a $2 billion project to develop a new generation of greener and quieter aircraft, and it aims to cut jet carbon emissions by 20 to 40% and to reduce noise pollution by half. And the whole thinking here is this is designed to offset the environmental impact of the huge projected growth in air travel over the next decade or so.
Well, Stephen, that sounds wonderful, but somehow I have a feeling it's not as simple as that.
No, I mean, the European Commission is bracing itself for a blast of criticism from Washington. This is a 50-50 public-private project with the EU taxpayer putting in $1 billion and European companies like Airbus, Rolls-Royce, Saab putting in another $1 billion. And the worry is Washington is going to say this is a subsidy.
Well, do other countries have anything like this?
Well, the European Union argues that the US does, the Aeronautics Research and Development Policy. So the European argument is we need to catch up with the US, which is actually ahead of Europe in this area. And the European Union argues that ultimately the beneficiary will be the planet.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Generic drugs are one way employers and insurers can cut the cost of prescriptions. The University of Michigan has come up with another way, cutting pills in half. Researchers found it's good for the company bottom line and for patients. Helen Palmer reports from our health desk at WGBH.
You can't split every kind of pill. For example, it won't work with capsules. But it works fine with cholesterol-lowering medications, and a trial program in Michigan saved a bundle.
The University of Michigan saved almost $200,000 for 2006.
Study author Haimi Cho from the University School of Pharmacy says patients got lower co-pays as an incentive, typically paying $7 a month instead of $14. Still, Cho says nearly 90% of pill splitters said they'd continue the program in return for the price break. But Frank Palumbo of Maryland University warns there are dangers, especially for the elderly who have trouble keeping track of their drugs.
If you add in the necessity of splitting tablets, you're going to really compromise their health, I think.
But drug costs are rising faster than inflation, so Palumbo says it's an idea likely to spread. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
60 years ago this month, the world first heard about the Marshall Plan. This was Secretary of State George Marshall's plan for rebuilding Europe after the war. Some people believe it's time for another Marshall Plan, this one for Africa. Commentator Glenn Hubbard shares his thoughts.
Given that Africa is poorer today than 20 years ago, it's only logical that some leaders have called for a Marshall Plan for Africa. But let's not confuse aid with business ingenuity. The original Marshall Plan was less a grand aid program than a targeted effort to restore the power of business as a growth engine. Under the plan, America gave Europe grants to restore production. Then European countries made loans to local businesses that eventually repaid them. Repaid funds were spent on business infrastructure, things like restoring ports and railways. By contrast, grand foreign aid plans emphasize government-led development and social services. But Africa has never had a major business sector support project like the Marshall Plan. Under a plan like that, an international organization would collect and manage donor funds. A country's eligibility would depend on its policies to foster business development. Countries would compete for the funds just as they did in the original Marshall Plan. What if they spend some funds on purposes other than starting businesses and promoting growth? Well, we could turn to other countries who would be happy to take the funds. Of course, charity touches the heart, and business does not. But it's time for American business leaders who've been conspicuously absent from the growing debate on African poverty to step in. George Marshall was very clear that the breakdown of Europe's business structure was the problem aid must solve. Let's build profitably on Marshall's logic today.
Glenn Hubbard is former head of President Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. He's now the dean of Columbia's Graduate School of Business. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.